We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I believe we're going to have a good night. Who's ready to have good times? We got the blessed fan in the back. The anointed fan is helping us out tonight. And it'll be good. And if somebody, for whatever reason, would like to have me sign their book, I'd be more than happy to do that. If you want to make it as a special thing for the time that you showed up for this unique two-day event that we got going on here. But there was several reasons why we started this. You know, we started the church in 2012 in the month of August. Actually, it was the 5th, and it was going to be Sunday. This August the 5th is Sunday as well, so we'll be celebrating 6 years. We actually started the Bible school a month after the church, because we figured, you know, it's not a good thing to start the same week, just to spread it out a little bit. So, you know, that's an interesting story. I don't want to get into that. But we noticed, you know, it was just our heart to see everybody connected to the vision and to connect it to the kingdom, really. And obviously, you know, people have talents, abilities, things that they carry on the inside of them, and you know, and some wise man once said that one of the places where most dreams and visions end up is the cemetery. And that's not the case that I don't want the case to be like that with you. I want you to see the fulfillment of the things that God's put on the inside of you on this side of heaven. Is that good? So you don't go into from this life into eternity with regrets, but you would go knowing that you fulfilled what God had for you. And you know, you won't give an account to the Lord for the things that he called somebody else to do. You're going to give an account to the Lord for the things that he called you to do. So that's why we got to be also careful when we compare ourselves with others, that we don't pick up the things that God's called them to do and then we try to do them. But we got to hear from heaven for what he has for us, and then just be faithful and do the best and fulfill the things that he has for us. And that was one of the reasons, certainly one of the things that the book is here for. Obviously, we believe that in these end times, these final hours, we're going to see a phenomenal transfer of wealth from the hands of the wicked into the hands of the just and the hands of the righteous. That there is going to come a time very soon when massive wealth is going to be released into the hands of God's people, so that the earthly enablement is going to be there for the proclamation of the gospel and for the pipe work for the kingdom to be done, so that we can get reach everybody. And that's certainly part of it, that God is going to raise up people that are going to release that wealth and then get the wealth and then release it into the purposes of the kingdom. But one of the things as well, like I said, is that it's very sad to see people not engaging fully in the things that God has for them, just because maybe they're not called to be a pastor, not called to be an evangelist. But we all called to be kings and priests. We're all called to be spiritual. We're all called to be believers. We're all called to be those who carry on the commission that God has for us. So I believe that's why, you know, I took some of the books with me, and I'm kind of bad in promoting my own book. But I believe it is going to help you out if this is something that is on your heart, if kingdom is on your heart. Because what we did is we started on it and just, I would just pray, Lord, give me things that I could share with people that are really wanting to see breakthroughs. And then every month when we had it, and you know, we've done it for 4 years now, a little over 4 years, every month something new would come up. Every month, Lord would give me something new to really encourage the people and challenge them and go further in the areas of kingdom business. So this is a collection of those teachings so that you could be blessed. And then just, there's a lot of scripture here, so you can take time to meditate and take time to digest the word and then pick up those things, because we've seen some pretty awesome things, some businesses raised up. And, you want to say, okay, she has some things that, because she remembers better. She remembers the details better. I was always destroy the testimonies by just giving the main things and then all the important details. But we've really seen the word work and turn things around. And I believe, you know, this is still the land of the free. This is still the land where there is amazing opportunities. And that when you go with the anointing and the power of God, with the vision that God gives you, which is what I'll be sharing tonight. And mainly tonight, I want you to catch the vision. I want you to see that there is a cause right now in the state of New York for you to need and to step into a breakthrough in your job, in your business, whatever the realm that you're in, that there is a cause. And the cause is bigger than just your financial independence and well-being. It's a cause for the kingdom. And when you see that, then you put your faith to work and you say, Lord, I want to receive the word from you and the empowerment from you in order for me to break free, because it's no longer about just you or your family, which is, of course, very important. But it goes beyond that to see actually this state shaken with the power of God and for us to see another great awakening. So you can be leading that by breaking free in the realm that you're operating in. And that breakthrough could be something that is going to impact many others. But my wife's here today. Why don't you come up, Pastor Santa, and welcome her. And if you want to say a few things and share the testimonies properly and greet everybody.
Yes, I'm just going to share other people's testimonies.
Go ahead.
But it's good to be here. And my husband started doing the kingdom business 4 years ago. And I've certainly seen the fruit of it. And not that I want to go into too much detail, but when we went to Finland 6 years ago, it is it's a social democratic nation. It is a super, super, super socialist, you know, the way people think. And entrepreneurship is not something that they have in their mind. They actually think it's kind of a cuss word to be successful or to have money, you know. But anyway, let's not go there. However, we understand from the Bible that we are supposed to be producing fruit, you know. From the beginning on, God put a man and a woman on earth to go and multiply, replenish the earth and rule and reign. And the blessing of Abraham was in multiplying, you multiply, you know, in increasing, you shall be increased. So people are supposed to be, you know, producing. And there's one family that came. This is just the most remarkable testimony that came to our church. And she's a Finn who has no education. She was got married when she was 17 to American guy and moved to America, and they got 4 children. And then they moved back to Finland. And I was her, for some reason, I was her Facebook friend, and I would have never thought these people come to my church, because she was a very, very, very vocal, always about her opinions, you know, openly in a Facebook. And they really lived in this place of just totally on government support, like many people do live, you know. I mean, up north, what it's like there in Finland, it's this, maybe you've seen in the news, but it's, well, okay, let me not go to the politics, but it is something that the, well, anyway, Yeah, I don't want to start talking about that. But a lot of people there, they do totally just live with the government benefits, you know? And so anyway, I would have never ever thought this person comes to a church or in anything like that. But they had, the story was that they had been in Finland maybe 5 years now, and the husband, who doesn't speak any Finnish, can't get any jobs. You know how frustrating it is for the foreigners. We actually have our church is it's bilingual church. We have an English church, so we reach a lot of immigrants. You know, and we ourselves been immigrants in America. We've immigrated to America. We are now American citizens. We know what it's like to be a foreigner in a different country. I mean, kind of, we don't belong anywhere. We are just, you know, citizens of the kingdom, you know? So we really have a heart for the immigrants too. So the husband couldn't get had been 5 years in Finland, just not getting a job anywhere and just totally being rejected there. But how depressing that is, you know, especially as a, and then, and she really, you know, had no education, and she went back to school, but just kind of went back to this Finnish model. They didn't know that there is something that she could do. But so basically she has no schooling, nothing. But when she came to our church and she started to sit on the word, she first came to the Bible school, and she was just so hungry, and she's a super energetic person. They actually have 6 children. She started working first for somebody in our church, and then they went on doing something else, and they told her, you can do this yourself, you know, start doing this in your own name. And she started doing the same thing by herself, and it started to work out for her, because she just started applying the principles of faith. And it's not a long time ago, because, I mean, they've probably been in our church 4 years, I mean, since the beginning of the kingdom business, but now she employs 20 people. But your business, she has the biggest, you know, one of the biggest givers. I mean, we have maybe bigger businesses in our kingdom business and bigger businessmen in our church, but she, her heart is so much, you know, with us. And I also want to say, because she's a woman, you know, as a woman, you see in the Bible, it was the woman who ministered to Jesus from their finance. A lot of times the women were the givers, the widow woman who provided for, like it's, I'm just going to say this as a woman, but for a man, they more easily start building their own castles. But for a woman, it's easier to let go and give and worship Jesus with your finances, you know? And I do think this is one of the reasons why she is the biggest giver, that it's easy for, her heart is not attached. Like she, it's easy for her to release, and she just keeps growing and growing and growing. And the thing about the having a church, somebody like that, who pretty much she employs a lot of the Bible school students. You know, new people come and she's like, yeah, I have a job for you. You know, how is that not a blessing to be in a place that you can give somebody a job? You know, like that is the best thing ever. For you who were like 5 years, whole time in Finland, just living out of a benefits, you know, and not being able to even provide for your own family, you know, now you have 20 people working for you, and she has more and more coming all the time. And I saw another one today just on Instagram. I didn't know this, but I saw these kiosks being opened. You know, I didn't know that they are even opened, but there's a one businessman who came to our church, and he was already like, well, I don't know, sure if he had his own business. He was working in a different field in finance, but he got saved in our church, you know, came to Bible school, and then city was putting these kiosks on the sale, you know, old kiosks in downtown Helsinki, and you could bid on them. So he was on fire, newborn believer, so he prayed in the Holy Ghost and got these amounts he felt like, you know, bidding, you know, and he got 3 out of those kiosks. And in Finland, the main like financial publication came and did an interview, like, how is this possible, that you must have had some inside information because your bids were so close, because they were all random numbers. They were not like numbers, but they were really like random numbers, like 0.3, you know, like 3,025. But he got them so close, you know, that he got 3 out of those kiosks. And I think he even had, he said that he would have gotten the fourth one too, but he started reasoning that amount and made it a different, you know. But even like a newspaper wrote about him that how did this one guy get three, you know, and which is the numbers were so close that he must have had some inside information, you know. And now I just saw on Instagram they opened up, you know, and there that I'm thinking, well, he's going to need some employers too, you know. We know how important or how sometimes difficult it's to find good people to work for you, right? You know, but it's such a blessing when in a church you find all these things, and that really is. I mean, isn't that what it's about? That isn't that bearing fruit when we see that happen in a people that they are. They are prospering. They're going forward. You know, their business is expanding, and they are able to provide for others and give jobs. You know, this one guy even gives always. Maria gets blessed because she kids go to him. Like, you have anything for me to do? And then you know, I mean, and I think it's kind of unheard in Finland. You know, we're kind of creating a new culture, just 4 years of Kingdom Business, and we've had a lot of also. Yes, I guess I won't say anything more, but a prosperity, you know, that's definitely in the Bible. Amen. You know, and that you prosper in everything you do, and faith works. You know, it's supposed to show outside and. Actually have a manifest in concrete results and so on. So we're supposed to be blessing to other people, not just be provided ourselves, but be able to take care of our family. But it's supposed to be pouring over, and we can start, you know, being blessing to others. Amen.
Hallelujah. And I really believe that God wants to do something unique here, and amazing things have happened in the history of the nation around these regions, and I believe it's time for another great awakening, and I believe that as everybody takes their place, something is gonna take place, amen, and. That's part of the reason, and also, you know, want to be a blessing as well to all those who are involved, and you've been working. Maybe you've been a big giver. Maybe you've been doing that. Part of the reason we did the nights is as well to just to be a blessing to the business people, men and women, to show them that, you know, how important they are in the kingdom, and then to be able to equip them to really go to another level. Amen. Well. I got something special on the subject of vision. You can pick up some of the other topics from the book and then study it. If you don't mind holding on to those. But I got something special on the topic of vision today. And I'd like you to... Well, let me read it to you from the Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And... obviously, special highlight on where there is no vision, the people perish. And how crucial it is for us to have a vision that is not just our own idea. One of the most frightening things pastor can hear is a member of the church come to them say, "I've been thinking." Usually everything that comes after that is not good. It just, you know, that's just usually how it goes, because when people get to thinking in their own mind, it doesn't usually come out good. But then when they're heard from heaven, that's a whole nother story. So I'm not just talking about something that we come up with. That's why we are firm believers in prayer, to taking time in prayer, also in prayer and fasting, and also taking time in the meetings like we had yesterday, in the meetings that pastor will be having here in the future, in the time just to hear from God, to come together also corporately to worship and to hear from God, and then to take time, of course, to hear from God in the secret place, as Matthew 6 talks about. But when you get that vision from heaven, that's going to be the key. Because all these things, like even the testimonies you've heard, it's that Lord puts something in people's heart. And then there is outworking of that. Now, me personally, I worked for a period of time in my life in the area of software. We had a software company. And, you know, excuse me for the software terms, but that's just the area that I think in, because that's the area of business I was in. But there's different levels of what software world calls requirements, which is like the specifications of how the thing is supposed to work when it's done. By the way, most software projects are not going to be done on time, and they always go over budget. But I don't know, it's probably with all the other things that you guys are involved as well, you know. Things easily go out of budget and out of schedule. But you have something that is called like the business requirements. That is the, and don't worry, I'm not lecturing about software today, so just breathe easy. I'm just giving you an example. But you have the business requirements, which means that there's a vision for the thing that you're doing. What is this supposed to be accomplishing? Like the general vision. Pastor has a vision. Pastors have a vision for the church and the region. So your business, you should have a vision that is that you can actually write down. What are you doing? It's a good thing that you can answer that. It could be a problem if you can't. Hello? So it's like, what are you doing? It's like the general thing that what's the heart of what you're doing? And then there is something called the user requirements, which is like the level of, okay, well, what are the features that are going to have to be done in order to get the thing done that you're trying to do? And then on the lowest level, or the most specific level, you got the technical requirements, which is the actual list of things that have to be done in order for that requirement for the user to be done. That is also under the business of what the whole thing is supposed to be done. So that's, you know, you got the big thing, and many Christians especially, they got the big thing. They got like, well, I want to get the world saved. But then you ask them, what are you doing about it? What are the steps that God's spoken to you about? Well, you know, I don't really have any steps, but I got the big thing, you know. I want to serve people in my city with this and that and that. But what are the steps that you're taking towards it? So you can see that under vision, there's almost like different types of steps, because you know, even in this meeting today, there's many different things. There's getting the word out. There's the sound, you know. There's other things. And if something is not working, then it's going to be a problem. You get what I'm saying? So there are like these different levels, and you should always see the big picture. But then you also got to see to it that you're going all the way down to the actual level of let's get the thing done. Because let's just say that there are some dreamers in the church. And, you know, they always have these great grande ideas, and those are great, but what are we doing to actually get them done? Because that wishful thinking or that positive idea alone is not going to get it done. It has to be from heaven, and then God can give you divine wisdom to actually accomplish and to put it to work. Like for another example of the businessman that we have in the church, he actually had a vision, an idea, which by the way, Abraham, if you look from the book of Genesis, Abraham had a vision. He had a visitation from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And then God spoke to him. But this businessman in our church, he had a dream about basically bidding against the bank and starting to operate in the area of gold. So he actually built a vault in the city for gold. It's totally crazy. He has Haggai 2:8 written on his 1 kilo gold bars that he is producing himself. I mean, you understand that you can sit in the service and say that, you know, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, and that's what God wants to do. But it's another thing to be actually holding 1 kilo thing in your hand. I don't know, it's like 36,000 euros a pop. I don't know what that is in it's 40,000, whatever the oh, the smaller ones are. But anyway, so for you to hold that thing in your hand and it has your company logo you know, imprinted on the gold bar. That's another level, you understand. So sitting from a service to a point where you have, I mean, I'm talking about hundreds of hours with lawyers, because you're going against the banks. They won't like that. You're going against the World Bank system because you're bypassing the money. And he has an app where you can give gold to somebody else, and the gold's in the vault. So it's completely ridiculous. It's bypassing like everything that the World Bank stands against, stands for, you know. It's crazy. But you understand that from that dream to actually holding the gold in your hand, that there's a lot of steps there. If you try to actually get gold, that's another world, like visiting Africa to find gold suppliers. You need some Holy Ghost wisdom. Otherwise, you will get shot. You will never come back. That is a fact. So, you know, from that place to and to this place, and still a lot to go. But why I wanted to give you that is to get the vision, get the mind of God. It's the same thing with the church. You can say, have the vision. Lord's burning in your heart about the souls. Book of Joel, I think it's 3:14. You know, multitudes in the valley of decision. You can get that, you know, heart, and you're doing it. But then there are steps you got to get. You got to know. You can't just go read Charisma magazine and pick out the first feature article and let's do that, you know. So you're probably going to fall flat on your face. You got to hear from God yourself. So there are steps to it, to really putting it into place. And sometimes when we're talking about things that have never been done before, you're going to have to hear from heaven yourself. How are you going to do it? So that's why I feel this topic is very important. And I just gave you that it's not just about the grande vision that you have for the whole thing, but it's also those things that you got to have a breakthrough in. Otherwise, you know, you won't see it come to pass. So go with me to the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah. I love the story of Nehemiah. I think I mentioned it yesterday that this great place in book of Nehemiah when he's just on the wall and he's just building away, and these guys are trying to scheme away and try to get him to stop working. And he just sends a word back to them and says, "We're in the middle of a great work. I don't got time. Nobody got time for that." And he just keeps on working. He doesn't even go down. He doesn't even go down. It's so funny. So it is. It's awesome. But in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, because this is how it all began with Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1 and 3. Let me pray briefly first. Father, thank you for the seed of the Word of God planted into hearts of every entrepreneur, every businessman and woman, everyone who carries the heart to be a blessing to the kingdom, to see the kingdom advance. Lord, we thank you for your word from Matthew 6:33, that if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, all these things will be added to us. So we thank you as we put our focus on seeking after what's important to you and to advance your kingdom in the state of New York, in around a vision that God, you've given to the pastors here, and to see really the another great awakening sweep through this state and this nation. Lord, we thank you that everything that we need, everything that we desire, I thank you that it will be added to us as we make the kingdom our first priority. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe the reason why I really felt prompted to pray is because the word is the seed, according to Mark 4. And if it's planted into the good ground, it has a potential to produce hundredfold. And therefore, one word from heaven into your heart can have a tremendous impact for the kingdom of God. And you know, that's how the kingdom works. It's just that seed planted. But Nehemiah 1:3 says, "And they said unto me," so Nehemiah hears the report of how Jerusalem is, the city of God. "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." So Nehemiah hears the report of how things are. And you can picture that, you know, really still now, Jerusalem being such an interesting topic, even the world news recently. Nothing has really changed. Great scriptures, by the way, in the book of Nehemiah on the same topic. Just to give you an example, Nehemiah 2:28. The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. I like that scripture. Anyways, so the word of the Lord, or the report comes to Nehemiah, and you may think that, well, how does this apply to us? Let me tell you right now, things that are going on right now in this state, in this nation, things are not well. Things are not well. The young people are not doing well. The children are not doing well. There's many pockets of areas where things are better, and that's great, and we can thank the Lord for that. But in general, things are not well. And the report comes to Nehemiah about the walls that are broken down, the gates that are broken down, talking about the authority gates, talking about things that are protecting the city. There's many things that have been torn down so that even young people that are the children and the young are the most vulnerable for all the things that the enemy would have, the world would influence, all the things. It's like all those things have come down so that the enemy can have a field day, and there is no standard in many places. Because God raises up, and the church should be the light. Are you with me? Church should have a powerful voice, and church should be there so that the people would actually, the politicians even would fear the church. So the politicians would be afraid to speak anything against the church beliefs, that even the local politicians would ask Pastor Jeremiah, is this okay, this policy? Would this be okay? Because we don't want to go against anything that the Word of God says. Do you think that's too far-fetched? Do you think that's too crazy? But that's how it should be. There should be a fear of God that we don't want to go against. It's like, I think it was Reverend Billy Graham who at one time said that we've taken all the steps to not offend anybody except God. So we carefully do things so we don't offend anybody except God. We offend God all the time, but people we try not to offend. But you find out here that the report is obviously not good that comes into the ears. And when you open your eyes to see what's going on in the city, what's going on in the state, and what really the plan and the vision that God has for the church is, and that is really a plan of increase, blessing, and multiplication. About a year and a half ago, I went through the book of Acts, preparing for our New Year's conference, and I was shocked to find out how many times the church multiplied and increased. There's even places when priests came to obedient to the faith. That's like another level of revival when even the priests come into obedient to the faith. But that's what happened in the book of Acts. So we find out that God's plan is increase, multiplication, blessing, to really see amazing things happen. And sometimes we've adopted this almost like miniature thinking, oh, we're just struggling saints over here. You're struggling nothing. You are bought with the price. You are bought with the blood of Christ. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and never beneath. You are not a struggling saint. You may have been struggling, but your struggles are called to cease tonight in Jesus' name. It's time to dominate. It's time to take over. If anybody is going to have the leading business in the area that you're in, it should be you, and it should be in the city. Amen. Why would it be somebody else? I mean, the way I'm looking, you guys look like great candidates. Just like your face right there in the whatever the local newspaper is featuring this area of business. They're just doing so phenomenally. If you don't want that, then just keep on thinking about the dinner you're going to have after this meeting. But just agree with that if that sounds good to you. So the report is revealed to Nehemiah, and much is revealed by his response in verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, then I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah didn't just complacently say, I guess it's God's will for us to just struggle and for the city to be in ruins. But he started to do something about it. He started to cry out to the Lord. He humbled his heart. He put his face to the ground and started crying out and said, he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So much is revealed by our response when we see what's going on. Unfortunately, many people, good thing is that those people are not here today because you guys are on fire. But unfortunately, many people are very complacent. They become used to things being bad. But Nehemiah, it didn't sit well within his spirit that things are not good in Jerusalem. He had a passion to see the city restored. He had a passion to see the glory of the Lord return. That's what he wanted to see. And we understand that in the Old Testament, things worked a little different. We're not looking to build a big golden church in Rochester. We're looking to see people's lives restored. We're looking to see the glory of God coming to live inside of the temples, which are the people. That's what we want to see. And certainly in the construction of these heavenly temples, buildings are going to be needed, and they are coming in Jesus' name. Land and buildings and structure, whatever is needed. But our goal is, of course, souls. Our goal is to reach people. Our goal is to see people's lives changed. And what can happen through one individual full of the power of God? You cannot put limits to that. What can happen with one man, one woman full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. So he started to cry out. He started to pray. He started to, he wept. He wasn't willing to say, okay, I guess this is how things are. And I pray you get that passion on the inside of you, whatever the thing is and whatever. Some of you may have adopted some lies that you can't grow anymore. Maybe the business, you're doing well, your family is provided for. Thank God for that. But let's believe for bigger. How about 100 families provided for? Your own family is a good start. But how about taking a hold of it? Now, somebody's going to be there leading that area that you're involved in. Why couldn't it be you? Somebody's going to do it. It's like in politics. If godly people don't run for office, the people that you least want there are going to do it. Think about it. If you don't dominate, if the church does not rise up, if people don't rise up, even in the city government, then the people that you least want there are going to be there. Those who are power-hungry lunatics. The people that like to boss others around. The ones that you would not want to have there, you know. Anyways, off of that topic. But you see, somebody's going to take the area and it might as well be you. I'm just saying. You with me? So it wasn't. So what was the response that Nehemiah had? He cried out to the Lord, Lord, let me see a change. And that's what happens in the ministry. You can say, okay, I guess things are not well, but you know, in the north, especially northeast, people just don't go to church. Rubbish. They go to church where the glory of the Lord is there. Are you with me? Amen. So we got to change our thinking. We got to see things differently. You can see a breakthrough in your business. You can see, you can end up being a manager in your business. You can end up owning the business that you're working for right now. I actually told our church one time that in the future, none of you will be working a job. You'll all be owning a business. I must have been like heavily under the influence during that service because whatever, I'm just going for it, you know. There's no reason for any of you to work a job. I just went for it. It's like all of you should be owning the businesses. Anyways, but it has to deal with that it begins with that, you know, let's say even your family, same thing applies to your family. You can say, you know, things are not fine with my family, but we're better than average, I guess. No, just believe God's best. Just go all the way. If things are not perfect right now, you know, things are not perfect in a lot of people's lives, but that doesn't mean that we should continue believing God and continuing to see bigger things. Jesus actually said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a good standard. If you're going to go for the standard, go for whatever Jesus said. Amen. So now, as we continue reading, and I'm going to read from verse 5 on, now we're getting to the point of vision. And we're going to see that Nehemiah did not just get the general vision. He was starting to get very specific details. I pray somebody's going to get some details tonight. I pray you just by divine, you just sitting there minding your own business, just listening to this crazy Finnish American preacher, you are going to get some divine instruction, some divine steps. So if you continue reading, and said, I beseech you, Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if that you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now there are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand, O Lord. I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, to thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cup bearer. Now you see, this is a prayer that's heavily founded on the Word of God. Everything in our life should be founded on the Word of God. Nothing is going to succeed unless if it's founded on the Word of God. Sometimes we got to let go of some things, you know. Sometimes we can have selfish things. You used to think of business as an earthly way out in a way, you know. I didn't know better, so. But I used to think of it as, you know, ministry is like you surrender all, but, you know, the business people kind of do their own thing and they just whatever. But if you want to do kingdom business, it's really wholehearted surrender to the purposes of God. And you actually link your business in a way that if your business succeeds, automatically the kingdom advances. It's not that, okay, I got to check in, something came into my business, oh, let me see what I'm going to do. No, it's automatic. Something is going to happen. The kingdom is going to advance. Somebody's going to get saved automatically. It's like I would even put it into the founding documents, the articles of organization for your business, that you are actually bound to the founding documents of your business, that you're going to contribute to the kingdom immediately when something happens. But that's just me. I would just put it in there so that the CEO is in violation of the business policy and not ruling properly if they are not releasing things to the kingdom the moment that something arrives to the account. So when you do that, then God knows that, okay, whenever this happens, something is going to come out of that one. And that's what God's looking to do. So Nehemiah is aligning himself, humbling himself, but also putting himself that this is not just for me, Lord. I'm basing this on the Word. You said that if we humble our heart, we repent, we cry out to you, you're going to hear, you're going to restore, and we got to get the city back to its feet. We got to get this city, we got to see people reached out. We got close to 7.5 billion people on the earth. We got 1.3 billion Indians in the country of India. We have several families from India in our church. How amazing is that? That there could be a country that's not even that large with 1.3 billion people on there. There are suburbs in India that are the, you know, population of Finland in one suburb. That's crazy. Like this neighborhood here would have like millions and millions of people. So, and that this generation is going to pass away. We don't have 20, 30, 40 years. We got to move now. There is an urgency. We have got to move now. And many believers, that's actually my first chapter of my book is about urgency, because many people don't have any kind of urgency. They're not and I'm not talking about just an earthly hurry. I'm talking about urgency that propels you, that you cry out to the Lord, I have got to see a breakthrough. If your eternity is secured, your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, your life's been washed in the blood of Jesus, Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're living a committed life to Him, that's awesome for you, but how about the others? How about the other 8 million that need to hear, the other 12 million in just around the regions here? So Nehemiah prays this prayer, and we find out right here in the beginning, as we read, that he spent days. When you spend days, something that is muchly forgotten, you end up meditating on the Word of God. So you pray, you meditate on the Word of God. Now meditate, you know, people can have all kinds of mental pictures of what that means. It means to think and mutter and consider the Word of God in your mind. You're bringing it into your memory. You're digesting what the Lord said. You are digesting. You can find out even from the Old Testament that many of the patriarchs in the Old Testament actually meditated. They meditated. They spent time, a long time, just in the Scriptures to getting, and I believe Nehemiah was spending time in the Scriptures to getting the plan and the blueprint and getting the wisdom. What is he going to do? He's spending time in prayer, spending time to receive from heaven those blueprints, those steps that you have to take. When we started the church about 6 years ago, we knew we were going to do Sunday. We landed in the country on Friday. We didn't have our own place yet. We had two kids at the time. We didn't have a place yet for our family, but we had secured the church for the first month. So the church was set. We had a location from a hotel for the first month for all the Sundays, but we didn't have a place to stay yet. But we believe it, and we were really operating in the gift of faith. We were like, we just knew everything was going to be okay. So we had booked a Sunday, we preached a Sunday, then we figured, let's start this thing properly. We had booked a 5-day revival meeting in the north of Finland for the next 5 days, and then we came back for the second Sunday. So we figured, might as well start the thing running. When you're going to start something, do it properly. So that's how we begin, and we started to see things. And one of the things that very early on, in the beginning, the moment the Lord blessed us, that we could move into a house and to live there, we started having prayer meetings in our living room. And at that time, there was always a group of people for refugees or immigrants from Africa who would come by. And these guys knew how to pray. So we were in this nice neighborhood, you know. And we would have a Tuesday night prayer meetings in the house. And these guys were not quiet. Like, Finns are usually kind of quiet. Not us, but like usually just, you know. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of a Finnish bus stop. It goes like there's the bus stop sign. There's one Finn here. One, two, three. Another Finn here. One, two, three. Another Finn there. There's a 3-meter gap between every Finn because they space out. Like naturally, they keep their distance so they don't have to talk to anybody. And anyway, that's just crazy. So Finns tend to be a little quiet, you know. There's a lot of things going on the inside. Like, Pastor, you'd be preaching in Finland, right? And you're like, really, you know, this is going to be good. And nobody moves, nothing, no expression changes. Like, whole place is just packed, but like, no. And then, like, in the end of the service, you're now thinking, you're having a conversation with the Lord. Am I even saved? Because, I mean, like, nothing happened. I thought I delivered well, whatever. And then some middle-aged guy comes to you after the service and says, this was the best day of my life. And then you're like, you know, it would really help me if you would have let your face know a little earlier, because I was really giving my best and nothing was happening. But, you know, literally, you know, so like another story, you know, in about 10 years ago in a revival meeting in Tampa, the pastor ministering stops the meeting, looks into the front row. This was like day 5 of a camp meeting, looks into the front row and says, "What just happened here is equal to Lazarus being raised from the dead." And then everybody's like, "What is he talking about?" And then he says, "Finnish pastor," it wasn't me, but this was before me, "Finnish pastor in the front row just smiled." That was day 5 of a revival week. That guy's been sitting there for like this for 5 days. And then he finally cracked a smile and pastor stopped the whole meeting just to acknowledge the miracles that has taken place. So all that to say that Finns are usually not very expressive. They have all kinds of things happening on the inside of them, but they just like, you know, no expression. So we had some Finns come in. We had some Indians, some Filipinos. Love Filipinos. We have a couple in the church who actually were in charge of building the American embassy in Helsinki, and then they stayed in the church. Awesome people, Filipinos. They built U.S. embassies all around the world because they have very good work morals. These guys just go for it. They're just wild. So we got this random group, and you know, this new batch of Africans, our soul winners found from the railway station, had just come in, you know, and these guys are praying like the windows are like shaking, like Shandaraka Saparab, you know, and we're like going for it and praying, and that was one of the first things that we did with the Sunday service, soul winning, and prayer meetings. Those were the key things, because we didn't want to do anything that God didn't give us to do. Now, I know I'm talking about church stuff, but I'm a pastor. You know what I mean? But in your business, it'd be the same. You know, don't just do stuff because somebody else is doing stuff. Get the blueprint. Get the mind of God. Get what you should be doing. Get, you know, there's the general things. You know, people. We got to reach people. And out of those prayer meetings, things started to drop into our spirit about what we should do, about the plans of heaven for us. You know, you can do all kinds of things. U.S. has almost any kind of church. You can always like, I like this one. Let me pick this one. Let me pick that one. And you'll end up having something that looks maybe nice but doesn't function, because you're just picking up what other people are doing. But there is that heavenly design, that plan. And I believe in these, the first chapter of Nehemiah is getting the plan of God. What are we going to do? I know this is not, God wants to restore the city, but I got to, and it's your faith that actually provokes God to action. It's your faith that is stirred up in you, even now, as the word of God is coming to your heart. The things in the city are not fine. Things in the state are not fine. You got to see a change. And then how do I fit in that? And just because your mama did it, you don't have to do the same thing. You don't have to do the same thing. God told Abraham, get out of your house. Now, I'm not talking about leaving your wife. That's a different thing. Or your husband. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your extended family. You understand what I'm saying? It may be a time to step out. Some people just do it because in your family, you've always done it. It doesn't always need to be that way. You got to hear from heaven for yourself. Amen? So what's taking place is the vision is being downloaded into heart, and I'll prove it to you in a moment as we continue to read. Vision is being downloaded in the heart of Nehemiah of how things are going to operate. But then there's a final step, because I've got a few different steps for you. First one was the report that Nehemiah heard. Second one was the response that Nehemiah had for it. And the third one was to get the vision, get the plan of heaven for what God wanted to do. And then the number 4 is the actions. And I'll read to you, because without actions, wishful thinking is going to get nothing accomplished. Wishful thinking accomplishes nothing. Who is thankful that Jesus didn't just have a nice thought about you, but he actually took action. I mean, we wouldn't be here had he not actually taken the action. And he knew what was going to happen. I mean, he told his disciples how he was going to die, how he was going to raise on the third day. He knew everything. He knew what was going to happen. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, got the victory. The battle was fought right there, but he knew what was going to happen. But he had to take action. And there's action that we got to see happen. You have hands, you have feet, you have mouth for a reason. You have a mind for a reason. Put it to use. Some of you are using your mind to just to run that same old track that you won't be anything. Change the track in Jesus' name. You're gonna be the head and not the tail. You're gonna be above and never beneath in Jesus' name. You're gonna fulfill what God has for you. You're going to see that vision fulfilled, even if you've got a few more years behind you than I do. I'm going to be 40 this year. It's crazy. A few months. So our youth pastor, one of the services like a week ago, said that he felt like an old man when he turned 25. So I'm like, what does that make me? I'm like, already, whatever. But whatever, you're young, a little bit older. I'm telling you, when you engage, like Nehemiah engaged with the kingdom, with the word of God, with prayer and with humility before God to hear from heaven, I'm telling you, your next few years can bring forth much more fruit than you've seen in your entire life. I want you to, if you're writing something down, which you should, your attitude towards the Word of God is going to determine how your life is going to look like from this day on to the end. Your attitude towards the Word of God. I believe hunger is the number one ingredient for revival in your personal life. And the Word, attitude towards the Word of God. What's your attitude? When pressures come, when people say, people bring their opinions, are you going to go with their opinions? Are you going to go with how things look like? Because anything that God calls you to do is going to be challenged. Nehemiah faced severe persecution. Anybody who was anybody was trying to cause Nehemiah to stop. And only when you step into that place that you're really accomplishing God's vision, you're going to see. Because supernatural anointing, supernatural plans of God are going to bring forth supernatural persecution. If you read what happened to Paul, which was one of the key figures, of course, in the book of Acts, you see there was some severe persecution. So you haven't seen anything yet. So just laugh. Amen. Some of you are thinking, can I laugh about that? Yes, you can. If your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can just keep on laughing until you see him face to face. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if I read to you from chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before sad in his presence, therefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but a sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Now, Nehemiah was obviously, his countenance was different. The king noticed it, and this was a very crucial moment. I believe that the plans of heaven had already been developed inside Nehemiah's spirit. He had been meditating on the scriptures. He knew what needed to happen. And now he had an opportunity to address the king. So the word says, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates therefore are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And that alone there is right there a miracle. The king doesn't ask the cupbearer, what should we do about this? Just doesn't. That just does not happen. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So Nehemiah is like taking a deep breath and he's like, well, he wasn't praying in tongues because that's in the New Testament. But he was praying to the God of heaven. I like praying in tongues. I think it's great. I think we should all pray more. Some people don't like praying in tongues. But just make a note that the person who wrote over half of the New Testament prayed in tongues more than we all together. Side note to all of our evangelical friends. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? That's already a green light right there. So Nehemiah knew that he was going to have to get into action. He was going to have to get some things done. He knew that he was going to have to put his feet to the ground. But now he's faced with a basically impossible situation because he's serving the king. He's supposed to be next to the king. But now he's pleading with a prayer to God. And he's pleading with the king and saying, and the king's giving him a green light. And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, now some plans are being put into action. You got to be bold about some things, even how you pray. Many things that are considered humility are actually pride. People sitting in church and saying, I'm nobody, you know, Lord, I'm just humble little servant here. I'm just sitting and occupying the back row. No offense to anybody who's sitting towards the back today. I'm just here, I'm nobody, you know, I just got a little business. Who told you you have a little business? Year and a half ago, we made a rule in our church, we don't use this word small anymore. We don't have small groups, we have home groups. Because there's nothing small about it. The Bible says that even the little that is starting is going to become a mighty nation. That's Bible. Amen. So you got to get rid of that thing. You got to get rid of the it's really false pride, false humility. It's pride that says that, you know, I'm a special case. God can use me. That's nonsense. You are a special case, and that's why God is going to use you. You have become an heir in Christ, in the kingdom. You with me? According to Ephesians. You are seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power. Amen? That's solid theology. All things are under your feet as you are in Christ. Amen? Amen? So we got to get rid of all small thinking. No small plans. You can have a small beginning, but it won't remain a small. Amen? Big things. Ooh. Light has come. Thank you. Big things. Big things. Amen. Amen. What was the... What could Nehemiah do? He's a cupbearer. He could have come up with 10 excuses why he couldn't do it. He's there with the king. He can't leave. He has a fixed position. He has ties in the city. He has this. He has that. But when you step into the realm of faith, your excuses are left behind. What can God do with you? You may be from this or that family. Well, your family is not wealthy. Maybe your family is wealthy. I have a lot of assets. I have no assets. I don't know what it is with you. Everybody's got an excuse. I'm old. I'm young. You know, I've just gotten established. I'm middle-aged. There's always an excuse. I'm a woman. I'm a man. You know. So we gotta let go of those things, and it's one of the qualities. You gotta be bold. You got to be bold. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Say amen. 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 So these are really kingdom business qualities. So he said, it says, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let the letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come to Judah. Now notice this. So he has a blueprint in his heart already, where he's going to go, which route he's going to take, what he's going to need, the letters he's going to need to be able to get across. This wasn't just, okay, I'm going to go and patch some walls in Jerusalem. Let's see if I can get a bus or something. Greyhound may be going there. I'm going to wait outside. No, he's got this thing mapped out. He knows that he's going to take a group that's going to go into the city of God, and he's going to need safe passage to get there. And he doesn't end there. He says that, and a letter unto the Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appeared to appertain to the house, and to the wall of the city. So now he's talking about the gates, he's talking about the wall, he's seeing. You have got to see what is going to happen in your heart already. If you can't see it, you will never see it. You got to see it. That's what vision is about. Nehemiah, as he's spending time meditating on the word of God, crying out to the Lord, he's seeing the gates built, he's seeing the wall built. And you find out that you study the book of Nehemiah, nothing could stop him. They tried to stop him. He's seeing this thing ready already. He's seeing it done. You got to see this thing, how it's going to be. So you got to have the vision from heaven, and then you're going to see how these things are going to be taking place. Sometimes you will see, Lord will even show you a vision, how something that has hindered you is going to be unlocked, so you can be stepping free in some area that has held you back. Because there may be an area that's holding your business back, but with wisdom of God, you can unlock that and step into the realm. It can also be in your family. There could be something that is holding back your family. God can give you a key to that thing, and it's going to be like heaven on earth, like Psalm 126 says. Amen. And notice, talking about humility, what does he also ask? He says, and for the house that I shall enter into. He's asking from the king wood for his own house. He's like, I need wood for the walls, I need wood for the gates, I need wood for the city to be fortified, and I need my own house. That's wild. He's got this thing figured out. He knows how to get to the city. He knows what he needs. He knows he's going to need the wood. And he knows he's going to need supplies for his own house so he can get everything going. Amen. You need a house too. God cares about your house too while you're getting to work. Amen. Amen. Maybe somebody needs a new house. I don't know. Amen. And then finally, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Hallelujah. So what's God called you to do? What has God called you to do? It begins with that vision. There was something that Abraham was looking for. He was looking for a city. And there was a clear plan that Jesus knew what he came to do, and he came to, and he fully completed it. There was a plan that God had for the church in the book of Acts, and there's a plan of God for this church, and there's a plan of God for this state, and there's a plan of God for your business. Amen. But I'll say this, you got to lay it all on the altar. You'll be struggling all your life if you're just trying to do your own thing. Psalm 127, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. It has to begin at the altar. It has to begin like it began with Nehemiah. And then you step into the places that God has for you according to the blueprint of heaven, according to heaven's design. There's a heavenly design. Heavenly design that God has for your life, for your business. But it's our responsibility to discover what He has. God doesn't owe you anything. You owe Him everything. And many people, unfortunately, have this entitlement mindset that they're just sitting around and, oh, I'm sure waiting on God to show up and deliver me my goods for the day. But you got to press in. You get the vision from heaven. And this may not be a very popular message in some circles because some believers want the preacher to do all the work so they can just go home and rest. But for me, it's a little different. I'm like, I'm tossing all the responsibility on you to press in, to seek God, to hear from heaven, to get that blueprint. Whatever needs to be changed, whatever. And I'm not telling you you got to do this, you got to do. I'm telling you got to hear from heaven what you need to do and then just be obedient to do it. And put kingdom first place. Don't just do it when you reach your first million. Do it now. Whatever you're doing it now is what you're going to do later. If you're not doing anything now, you won't do anything later. Show me a tither now, there'll be a tither later. They won't be a tither when they reach the million. They'll come up with all kinds of excuses by that time when they never give anything. I'll tell you, I don't like that pastor. I don't like the way he dresses. I'll never give to that church. People have craziest things that they come up with. But you just got to connect, commit, and understand that when you're giving, you're not giving to a man. You're not giving to keep the lights on. You're giving to the King of Kings. And when that resource leaves your hand, it goes to the hands of Jesus. And it's going to be on the house's responsibility after that and those who God's pointed in there to take care of that and to put that to work for the kingdom. But your responsibility ends there. Now, obviously, if the pastor is a serial murderer, please don't go to that church. But I'm just talking about in general that response, because that frees you up. Your responsibility is to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And there's a great freedom in releasing it. Many people only give when they have strings attached. I'll tell you, I'll choose the paint that they use for the church, then I'll give. That's not giving, that's weird community things. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the order of the kingdom. We're talking about advancing the kingdom. I'm telling you, we got to see a region shaken with the power of God. And your breakthrough could be majorly. Your breakthrough could be linked to it. And my wife mentioned in the beginning, I think it's chapter 8 in the book of Luke, that there were a group of ladies who followed Jesus and ministered to Him out of their finance. How cool is that, that we're still talking about in 2018 in upstate New York, we're talking about these ladies who just made it their commitment. I'm sure there were others who had a great idea that, hey, we should probably do something for Jesus, but they never did. But this group of women was like, we're going to follow Jesus and make sure He has everything He ever needs. And now we're talking about them. How are people going to talk? If Jesus tarries, how are they going to talk about you? Are you going to be in the history books as somebody who did what God called you to do and you engaged with the kingdom? And I'm sure there's going to be an opportunity to even give today to my ministry if you'd like to do that. But this thing is not about my ministry. This right now, tonight, is about New York. Because I want you to hear, I want you to get the vision to see this. You know, we have a great group of people here. And with this group of people, we can see phenomenal things take place. We can see phenomenal. This is about connecting with what's going to happen in the years to come. And I'm telling you, if you have that same heart and attitude that Nehemiah had, you're going to put yourself in a place where God's going to give you divine strategies how to take things to another level. Some of you may be in business for just a little bit, and then God will open you a door to go to the ministry. That's okay as well. But there may be many people here that God has called you to be in business, to break free in business, to enlarge your tent, and to see some major miracles, to be able to see breakthroughs. And it's all going to be connected to the plan of heaven with the advancement of the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly vision, heavenly blueprint. The big picture, I'm sure we all agree that God's not willing that any should perish, that everybody should be saved in the state of New York. I don't think anyone of us would disagree. If you would disagree, you would have probably ran out of here earlier. But it's what God's called us to do. And what our responsibility in this is. And if everyone in this room steps into their place, gets the blueprint. And I love to be challenged by business people. I don't get offended. I don't feel bad about it. I get irritated in a good way if I find a business person that's full of the Holy Ghost and is doing amazing things, because it challenges me to go to another level. And your obedience in the place that God's put you in can even challenge the pastor here and say, my goodness, these guys are doing, they're like opening another shop. I'm gonna like, how about another location, you know? How about some more land? You getting what I'm saying? And it's the same way with complacency. If we tolerate complacency, then people think in the church it's okay. But when you are on fire, when you love the Lord, when you're doing everything as to the Lord, you're excelling in the things that you're doing, you're setting up a standard, and it's going to have an effect in everything else. And other people are going to be encouraged. And then you have somebody who's even lived on the street, somebody from outside, when they get saved, they get put into an environment like that, they're going to become productive. And it's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing, because somebody will find them a job, and then they'll go to that job. They learn from those people, from that business environment, some godly principles, and because working is very important. And I could talk about that forever, but study how much Paul spent even his own time in establishing the example that everybody should be working. He would work on top of his preaching, Apostle Paul. I believe that main reason for that was he wanted to establish a standard that everybody should be occupied, that nobody should be just by themselves doing nothing, but everybody should be engaged in something. So he would work on top of his preaching just to establish that in new churches. That's part of the apostolic blessing. You get to work more. Amen. 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 So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in just a moment. But when you do, if you had a very long day, please nobody fall asleep. Some of you woke up like 6 o'clock to go to work, and you've already had a long week, so nobody go to sleep on me, please. Father, we thank you for your visions and plans and things that your people have already seen come to pass, the visions, dreams, and all the things that they've already started to see come to pass. But Lord, I ask you for heavenly downloads, for heavenly visions like you gave to Nehemiah. The blueprints, the details of what is needed in these end times to see major breakthroughs. Lord, adjustments that need to be done so that we can be aligned with everything that you want to do. Lord, you said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen, I'll give you the nations. And your word says that we have not because we ask not. So on the foundation of your word, we ask for the city, we ask for the state, we ask for the people in these, for no other reason but for their eternal security, for their eternal salvation. That before this generation passes from this time into the next, they would have heard the gospel. Everyone in this city, they would have had an opportunity. And that people would have come by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we thank you for the pastors that you've given to this church. What a blessing they are. We thank you for every gift, every calling that is presented in this room, Lord. Everyone, all the things that you put on the inside of them. Thank you, Lord, for clarity, for details and the vision, steps to take that'll unlock any attack of the enemy to be broken that has tried to hinder them from maximizing everything that, Lord, you have for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, let this weekend be a powerful time of downloads, even as they get to work tomorrow, that, Lord, you speak to them, show them how to do things, show them how things could be done better, show them what the heavenly plan is, and they'll be able to be a great blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Did you get something out of that? And I pray, I hear from pastors, I hear some good reports about that you're gonna in a good way irritate the pastors with the success that you'll have in the kingdom, and then they'll be provoked for new actions as and you know. Your flesh will never agree with the position God has for you. Your flesh will never in the morning say, hey, let's step up to this place that God has for us. The world will never agree, and the devil won't agree. Just understand that. But we understand the plans of the enemy. They're not anything new. The same tricks he used on Nehemiah, same tricks he'll use for you. But when you step into the realm and you proceed, just be aware of that. When those things come, God's already given you the victory. Amen. And we'll be together. I mean, we may come back to the city. I know, we don't have any plans yet. But even if we wouldn't, even if we would see, for the most part of you, we would see each other in eternity, we could rejoice of all the things that God's done. Because what is life? What is next 20 years? It's like a breath. And it's here now, and it's gone tomorrow. But what's done for eternity is going to last. And I believe we're going to rejoice together for all the things. We'll be rejoicing of all the things that God's done through us in other side of the world, and wherever God sends us, and we'll be rejoicing with you for all the things that he's done through you. Amen? So let's see these things come to pass. Let's not just let him be at this vision high perspective, but let's step in and let's get the blueprint of God so we can actually get them done and take bold steps. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.